Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
walking with the Lord. Let him know the God. I said I'm a head. Say, I'm a
room.
Yes, I have.
You're in the upper room. Thank you for tuning in to Care to Talk. And this is Sherelle Omiinka 7. And thank you so much for tuning in with me. You're in the air. And once again, I'd like to say that they've gone off the air for a while. And glad to see that some of you are joining me back. And we're going to continue on with Cure to Read. I have tons of things to talk to you about today. And I'd like to just give you a little introduction of the RIF program, the mission statement. And as I told you earlier, RIF's mission statement is to develop and to deliver children's and family literacy programs that help prepare young children for reading and motivating in the school age level as well, through a national network of teachers, parents, and community volunteers. RIF program provides books and essential literacy for the families and for schools. RIF focuses on a higher priority on the nation's the neediest children from birth to age 11. Now, I'd like to do a quick review and give you a little information about what is about to happen today, but I'd like to take some time to read you a short essay. Once upon a time, there was a village built upon the edge of a river where the water churned roughly over the rocks. There were signs at the river's edge warning of danger, but people often ignored the signs and fell into the river. They either drowned or floated downstream to a waterfall and were never seen again. The river came up with a plan. The villagers came up with a plan. A net was put downstream to catch those who had fallen into the river. A full-time crew was hired to watch the villagers float downstream and pull them out of the river, dry them off, and got them to the ambulance. A new hospital was built closer to the river's edge. All these efforts increased the survival rate of the people who fell into the river, but many were still injured or drowned. A couple who moved to the village watched what was happening and asked if something more could perhaps have been done. Collaboration. The villagers explained that they had developed a good system, and while they weren't able to save everyone, things had improved. The couple decided to take matters into their own hands by helping to build a large fence around the rough part of the river, preventative, offering swimming lessons, which would have been education. Speaking to villagers about the dangers of going into the river without a life jacket was prevention and education. Conducting classes to teach people how to maneuver their boats around the rocks was prevention and education. Soon, fewer and fewer people were falling into the river, and those who had fallen into the river, they were better able to help themselves out. Family life education is about teaching the skills and knowledge needed to avoid falling into the river and about knowing how to help yourself if you do. And knowing how to help yourself if you need help in reading. The community gets involved, and that's what I'm about to talk about. I'm a part of the community, and I'm getting involved so that you can share in the learning process of learning to read. Since we've been off for a couple of days, I'd like to bring you up to date with the workshop that we're about to present today. I'm going to do a quick review over workshop number two, which is creating a literacy-enriched environment. I'm going to briefly go over those topics so that you can have a foundation to draw from, to identify. And creating a rich environment, you need to identify and discuss characteristics of the literacy-enriched environment. And last time, I talked a little bit about setting up your environment, making sure that it is enriched with materials that your children can use to read. Now I would like to speak to the teachers and the providers out there who are working with children on a day-to-day basis, those teachers who are working from their home in a setting of child development. I'd like to speak to you and like to let you know that it's important that you set your environment up appropriately. Now, there's two books that we're going to be featuring today that will help you to enrich your environment, and one of those books is called Adam's Daycare, and this is specifically designed for the daycare workers. And then there's Clever Chopsticks. Now, Adam's Daycare book, you can find it at any library, and it's by Julie Overnell Carter. And that book is a paperback book and a picture book for children for the age of toddlers to two-year-olds, preschoolers. If you would like to use those in your family child care, you can. Now, Clever Sticks is by Bernard Ashley, and it's through the Crown Publishing in 1991. It's a picture book also for preschoolers depicting a child's care center. Let me speak to you a little bit about child care centers. Child care centers have to make sure that their environment is enriched. Even though you're doing daycare in the home, you must enrich your child care by having feature books that you might post outside of your classroom so that the teacher can see that the children are engaging in enriched literacy. It's very important that you post this information. It's very important that you have this information available to the parent with a list of the types of books you're reading. To discuss how children build their understanding of different types of connections between pictures and print. Yes, print is very important, and to children, it is a form of literary writing. So you want to make sure that you have this information printed so that it's at the child's eye level, and it serves as a model for participating in literacy-enriched programs in the home as well as in the center. Now, I wanted to point out to the family child care, the providers, and preschool and kindergarten teachers, there is a website. StartJump is a website for teachers that you'll be able to go to and be able to download materials if you like. And I'm inviting all the teachers out there to please call in on the show. You're in the air. Call in and make comments and inquire about the different topics that we're talking about. Our guests will be scheduled for possibly Monday because we're just coming back on the show today. We decided not to have a guest in the room today because we need to do a lot of house cleaning. Now, let me go on to discuss how children build understanding of the difference and the connection between pictures and print. We talked about you must make sure you have a print-enriched environment, even in the home. You could either use alternative books, and let me give you a couple alternative books if you can't find Clever Sticks or Adam's Daycare. There's a series of I Spy books, and these are little books by Jean Mazzola, and that's a Scholastic book. You can find that out there, and bring that book in and use it if you would like to have an alternative. And any of these books in the iSpy series are just fabulous. You can use those. Let me go into some information, details about understanding that reading and in the environment is very important. And what I mean by that, you might want to have a thematic approach where you use a theme per quarter or per month, and that theme should spread across the child's curriculum in all aspects of the curriculum, such as math and science and English, so that you have a thematic approach. You can actually purchase books. You can be connected to clubs, have the children join various different clubs, and they can purchase their own books. But it's certainly important that your environment should induce the child to learning. Now, for some of you who have been following me on Facebook, I do have a new program called Cinch, and Cinch has been featured out there so that my listening audience can keep up with me through Cinch and hear about some of the things we're doing and the different shows that we're working on. This particular show will be featured on my Facebook as well as on Twitter. So if you want to follow me, please do. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook. Now, let me take a station identification break, and I'll be right back at you in 1 second here. All right.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy thief. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out of this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
All right, we're back and you're in the air. Thank you for holding off and waiting for me. Let me do the review now over workshop number 2, talking about a literacy-enriched environment, the introduction part and leading to a full group discussion about why literacy-enriched environment encourages young children in language literacy development, referring to the language and the literacy development resources and discussion. From the previous workshops that I've had, the emphasis was just as interesting and varied in environment, encouraging the child to develop in general so that the literacy is always a focus, that's a focusing point. And the activities are very important that you put out for the child. In introducing the books you use in this activity, we talked about Adam's Daycare. And you show a typical day in a family child care setting where a family may make sure that they are doing themes and thematics in the classroom. You can incorporate chopsticks and have possibly Chinese lunch or snack for that child to engage in and have a set of chopsticks for each child to eat with and talk about chopsticks and why do other cultures use different utensils to eat with. That will engage them to go into a social studies curriculum and talk a little bit about countries and continents and then focus in on Japan and Chinese and talk about the fact that they eat with the chopsticks. And you can place this at the center of your circle time and talk about chopsticks and why some cultures use chopsticks. You ask participants to read from some of the books in the classroom after you read the book. You can ask the child to read the book again in an echo style or group, or then possibly read it alone. I like it when children read as a partner and they can read as a choral. Sometimes I have books that are choral reading books, and then these are level books so that they can read them at their level. But most of them are mimicking and modeling what they see you do. This can be done in a home, too, parents. And for those providers that are doing family child care, you can set your environment up ahead of time with the chopsticks on display. And then for lunch, you announce that you're having the authentic Chinese food or Japanese food. And then you can use the chopsticks with those with that particular book to make a whole project out of it. Now, for you FCC family child care workers, I know you have regulations of the types of food that you have to serve, and if you can fit it in and get it approved, then you might want to include a Chinese meal, okay? Now, the sharing part, when you ask participants to volunteer, you ask the children who would like to volunteer. Would they like to come up and show how you use the chopsticks and then equate the book and tell the story about the chopsticks and have them to also give you their favorite character in the book, to talk about the climax of the story, what was the main topic in the story. And you get different people to act out different parts in the story. You have a full group participation. And with it, and then as they depict these characters, you can even make them create their own life story. Some children like to have their stories recorded on the tape recorder. Always have a tape recorder somewhere by so you can record their stories. And you can use the chart paper to write, do a webbing. Put the main character in the middle and then put those other characters that are supporting characters that spring off from the story. Okay. Now, we want to show that the environment is important, and that doesn't mean you go and throw your whole center out and go get new products. You add to your center. For example, if you are trying to depict an area or an environment where there is calmness, peace, and you want to intrigue the child, you start to add things to that particular area that will draw the child to the area. A book will go along with a blanket, and maybe this story may be about the child's first blanket. And you have a blanket in that area so the child could be engaged and drawn into that book. It's very important that you also look at I Spy books, because I Spy books can be handmade. These are paperback books you can create yourself. And you can do I Spy books just about anything. And once you get the books and see how simple they are to make, you can create these books as a group effort as well. You make sure you draw the area in your classroom, the FCC classroom, which is a home dedicated to the reading and the writing area. A lot of teachers like to include their writing right there with the reading. Now, why do I say writing for kindergartners and preschoolers? Because scribbling is the first level of writing. And you encourage that by allowing them to put their print on paper, on large large chunks of overhead paper, or you may have blocks of paper in the writing area. But you certainly encourage the scribbling, because they go from the stages of scribbling to writing letters. And you should also be very, very conscious of the fact that you need to have a handwriting book for the child, something where he can trace over the letters and alphabets on a regular basis. And as he begins to trace over these letters, then you start asking him to do the freehand letters and engaging that child by holding his hand, guiding his hand for writing. Now, some parents see a lot of scribbling and they say, well, my child's not writing yet. But I beg the difference with them, and I tell them scribbling is a form of writing and it's necessary for the stages of writing. Now, you draw from other areas, like your dramatic area for play or your block area. You set those areas up, and you can also put books in your science area. And as you begin to do the science lesson, you started off with a book and engaging the child in something that pertains to science. Then you go on to have reading across the curriculum, and when you do your social studies, you pull out your book that is teaching a geography lesson or that is teaching about continents of the globe, and the child begins to see how books is a thread for all of the educational disciplines. Then your environment becomes so enriched with print. And don't forget about your posters. You need to have posters everywhere, some with rhymes and riddles written on it, so that the child will begin to start to see print as legible reading material. and they will begin to go up with their pointers. Give them the pointer, yes. It's okay to give them the pointer. Let them point and read. Show them how to guide their hand and let them know that reading starts from left to right. So when they begin to read, they're not all over the page. And you do that periodically so that you have groups of children that get a chance to guide their reading through touching and using the pointer. The pointer is very important. Children love to come up and read posters. You also want to divide your children up into groups and let them go to the board and let them scribble on the board. Let them use their energy to exhaust in writing letters, telling them they're taking dictation and sound out letters and see how many of them know how to form the letters. Keep letters on the board already written out so that they can go up and trace them. And have a letter of the week so that every child knows what that letter is and they can begin to start to practice the writing. Now, your environment is enriched because you have plenty of books. And that brings me to the topic we always talk about and care to read, a family book that a family would like to introduce to the family once the child comes home. Now, this is for you parents. This book that I'm featuring for today is African Holistic Health. Now, is this a resource, a referral book? It's kind of high, you know, high-level reading, but the parents can read this book and talk to the family about good, healthy eating habits. Or they could talk about physical development and incorporate natural foods into the child's diet and share with them a salad or tomato or carrots so they understand how this fits into the diet and how the diet is made up of, how the body is made up of energy, and that it needs to be efficiently ran through having natural sources of food, real live food. So I recommend this book because over 100,000 copies were in print, and it's on its fourth revision. And this book is by Dr. Jewel. It was a new introduction by Dr. Jewel Pullman, but it's written by Loyola Africa. And this particular book is very, very important because I met Dr. Loyola Africa and had a chance to interview him during the time I was compiling a manuscript. So this is a great book for the family reading, and I would definitely urge the family to get that book out and read it, okay? Now, I want to talk a little bit more about enriched literacy area, and then we're going to move on to our workshop number 3. One of the things you want to have in your literacy area is the Natural Resource Council recommends that the children enter school with specific early literacy skills that serve as the foundation for learning. And what are they? To read and write, children who are entering school with more of these skills are better able to benefit from the reading instructions they receive when they arrive at school. And what are those reading instructions? It's print and motivation. Okay, and find books that speak to your children's interests and share them often as you can. Vocabulary. Teach your child the specific names of things like vegetables at the grocery store and why it's so important to point out words and enunciate them for children is because everything around them is their learning tool. And that's how they engage themselves and learn cognitively through hands-on. Print awareness. Help your child discover how to hold a book and turn the pages. Do that often. Hold the book up, and if you're using a pointer, show them how to use the pointer. Don't put it away and think you might poke your eye out. Give it to them and show them how to use it. Then you have the narrative skills. Tell a story together, encourage pretend play, dramatic play, encourage them to act out characters, and let your children be a storyteller. That's right. They may have gifts of being natural storytellers. And you put on outfits and garments, and when you tell certain stories, you become the character and teach them how to take roles in the story and become various characters because children love dramatic play. Then you have phonological awareness. Some of us call it phonemic awareness. And that is singing songs and playing games and sharing rhythms to help your children play with the smaller sounds in the word. You break them down. You might want to extenuate on the fairy letter, the E, and then you start to enunciate and decoding words and syllabically breaking up the words for the child because he begins to see that the word has to be broken down and decoded and that there are some words that can't be decoded that you must memorize. So as you begin to break down the decoding process for the child, he begins to realize there's a process to reading. And that process calls for decoding and phonemic awareness. They love rolling it off their tongue. They love to deal with fancy words like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. They love those kind of words. They love words that can roll off their tongue. So don't be afraid to scrunch your face up and make those sour faces and say the words so that the children can get into reading. Then letter knowledge. Oh, I can't stress that enough, home, family, daycare, and center. I can't stress that enough, the letter knowledge. Not just to memorize a letter, but know them out of their content. Know them out of context and be able to identify them, write them as well as read them. And when they have a problem getting them mixed up with letters, don't scold them. You know, begin to realize that they are children and they're learning and their slow process of growth may not be as fast as we think. But begin to show them how to identify letters. Help your children identify the first letters in his or her name because they take ownership of something that belongs to them. Don't start them off with letters of the alphabet. Start with their very name. They will love you for it. They will take ownership of it, and they will hold on to it and remember those letters and their name. And periodically, they'll begin to recognize names in the rest of the classroom, and then they'll get to the point where they know everybody's letters and their name. Find books that will help depict this and enrich your environment with it. On the street sign, stop and label every sign, and these are very important for kindergartners. They have to pass the environmental sign, they have to know the yield sign, they have to know the information sign, the stop sign, the railroad crossing, they have to know all this, and this is a form of reading, teacher, believe it or not, they are reading, and when they can come in and identify the environmental signs, I say, oh, you're reading, they get so excited, they go home and say, Mommy, I read today. What did you read? And they'll begin to point out stop signs and yield signs and information signs. And the mother said, so that's what you call reading? And they'll realize that they can teach their children those things at home because they must pass a skill test on the environmental signs. Yes, you can help them and learn how to teach them to memorize these. Yes, memorization is just as important as breaking down and decoding because there's some signs they will have to memorize, okay? Now, do I have any callers out there in the air? If you are, please tune in with Care to Read. We'd love to have you here on the show. I just want to take a few minutes to acknowledge those readers out there and my friends who have been following me. Thank you very much for following me on the Scent Show. I love the Scent. It gives me the opportunity to be out on the beach and just pick my phone up and stay in contact with my listeners. I just love it. Oh, I love it. The best thing since apple pie. I've been on that Scent for the last 3 days now, and if you want to know my whole history about me, you can go out and check out Scent because I'm out there. Nothing to hide because my listeners have to understand that I will be a role model for them, and I know that there's a certain level of character that, every one of us have to carry in our Iwatelu, good character and good conduct, so I have no problem with that. We're getting ready to feature a show that's coming up with dealing with the spiritual, healthy, wealthy, and wise, and we're just coming up with our topic title for it. And I think you'd be excited to hear about it because I deal with family life education, which is the whole family, and dealing with every aspect. And hopefully we will have information where you can go to a resource website, and you can access information about educational schools. And I also talked a little bit about the Waldorf School, which I'll be featuring on my website, a brand new methodology for some schools who are not familiar with the Waldorf theory. That is a different way of teaching and the way of the Waldorf theory for the early childhood. I would like to point out the fact that there is topics out there about your baby can read. I like for you parents, if you hear those commercials, please do check them out, because the earlier you start your child to read, the better. There it's never too early to start that child to reading. And I believe that babies do read, and I am a connoisseur of teaching babies to read. Why do I say that? Because children are little intelligent people, and they can learn to read words. I believe that with all of my being. Now, let me go on to section three. Now that we've talked about the enriched area, I'd like to take you on a little bit of a trip. And the I Spy book I want to go over, and the book that I talked to you about earlier. Okay. Now, in sharing the I Spy books, the I Spy book, toddlers can read those, two-year-olds, three-year-olds, and they can retell the stories. And they can thematically give you a thread in that story, and they can act out the parts in the I Spy. Please use those books. I won't be reading those books today for you because we are trying to cover two workshops, and time just won't allow me to read those books right now. But before the end of our show, I will find a book to read for you. Okay, thank you. Reflecting back on the each child in the I Spy book, I want you to let those children make their own books. Even if they do put the pictures upside down, let them glue the books together. They're very easy to make. You can say I Spy for ice cream, I Spy for candy, I Spy for popcorn. It's a very simple sentence, and you let them fill in the blank. Language and literacy learning begins at home. Okay, the Jacksons are a family that love music. This is a story I'm going to tell you. When entering their home, the first thing you see is a large piano that fills most of the living room. And the first thing you hear is someone humming or singing by themselves with others or alone with a song on the radio or CD player. A shelf holder with a row of CDs organized by types of music, jazz, show tunes, gospel, classical, and so on and so forth, etc. Family gatherings always feature sing-alongs and grandparents singing, old Negro heritage, parents and children, aunts and uncles, cousins, and guests standing around at the piano while skillfully singing and scatting. Yes, scatting. How many of you are familiar with scatting? It's something that you will hear a lot of jazz people do. They will scat. Okay? It's a form of singing and talking. And not so skilled musicians that take turns playing the piano. That might be me. I like to play on the piano. And not very skillful, but I love to play on the piano. The youngest generation grows up surrounded by music, by joining school choruses and church choirs and learning to play music instruments, exposed to music by an early age. They do this, and by the time that they are adults, they are very inclined to be able to have an ear for music. Okay, at home, and let the music enrich their lives. We must let what is important to us the most enrich our lives. And here for the Jackson family, it was music. And eventually their children continue the Jackson family's music tradition. And I'm not just talking about Michael Jackson. It could be any family. I had a very enriched musical background in growing up. So I became very musically inclined, but you wouldn't be able to judge from that by listening to my sense. I will learn next time not to try to squeal into the phone because it's a little difficult. However, I came from a musical background, and we had music everywhere, pianos at the front door, instruments all over the house. Clarinet was my favorite, which I played and learned how to play. My sister played the viola and violin so that we would have a foundation. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. What your children enjoy the most, make sure it's enriched in your environment. Create an environment that encourages young children to explore and make discoveries about language and literacy through play, routines, and other daily experiences. Include the environmental pictures, books and songs, and other items that reflect children's character and their culture. And individualize the environment if you have time and responding to each child's language and literacy skill that's interesting to them. And even introduce a foreign language. That's right. It's very important to introduce a foreign language to your children that you're working with. And you family daycare workers out there, make sure that you introduce a foreign language to the child at an early age. They can pick it up rather rapidly. You'd be surprised how rapidly they could pick that up. Now, in finishing this particular workshop with enriched environment, I like to say that the language literacy learning begins at home. And I'm so fond of the home because my child's learning first began at home. And I homeschooled both of my children at one point in their lives. And I'm telling you, homeschoolers, don't be afraid to venture out and make your home look like a school. And you family child care providers, don't just have the TV on all the time. Shut it off. Set up environments in your home that looks like they're going through a monsoon. Have a theoretical theme that's drifted across your living room, and you can take these things down. Don't be afraid to have a little extra work. Children will help you take it down. Your parents will get involved. Ask them if they have donated items they can give you for your themes, and incorporate them. Have the CD player somewhere close by so you can slip on a CD where a song will always go with the story, and you have a little dancing in between that, a little humming and singing and background music where they can learn to sing along. Explain that the literacy-rich home environment also, it communicates a family interest and a value. So what your values are, those are things you should do in your home. A home filled with books and writing material and people who read and write and teach children that reading and writing are important. It's fun to live in. It's a valuable and active home, and you want to make sure that those things are present. Activities. Make sure that there are some types of games that you do routinely with your children. Review the and review the game. Show them how to use the game. Make them simple games, of course, so that they can get immediate gratification from them, and buy games. I like to play tic-tac-toe. I like to also teach them numbers through the domino games. And as they get older, add other games that they can use with mathematics skill. For each feature, ask what participants would like to do. Ask them what kind of games would they like for mother to buy or to bring, or would they like these, have a list, a wish list of gifts that they would like to make of games that they want in their home. It's very important that you make a literacy-enriched home because a child will carry that over to school. And in the effort to enrich your environment, don't forget about food is very important. You can create a culture enrichment with every book that you introduce to the child by introducing food. It's very it's very favorable for children. They have a palate that loves to taste different foods, sour, sweet, and bitter. And suggest that participants share. If they would like to bring something to talk about at school, ask them to share it with the children and how they use it in their home. And ask them, what do you know about print? And do you have posters at home? Do you have riddles and chants? And if not, order these things, teacher, and give children print to take home. They love taking home print. They love seeing something in writing because it makes them feel big, like they can read it. they can, and once they can read it, give them certain words or phrases that you want them to memorize every week, and give them little tokens for those people who can memorize it. They feel good about themselves that they remember something that was in print, and they can use this knowledge to transfer over to reading, and ask participants to bring language and literacy albums, like if they have music at home that their mother will let them bring for show and tell. Don't always have to be bringing guns and dolls. Tell them to bring some of their literature and share this with the class. And also let them have a journal or a notebook where they can post information about their weekends and their travel so that they can become worldwide travelers. Now, I would like to take you to the topic of discussion and the overview of session number 3. Okay? Our session number 3 is covering the topic for today, but because we were out, I wanted to review that real quick for you. Workshop number 3 is Where Conversation Leads. And on that note, I'd like to play one of my poems that I've written and possibly give you an idea of where my roots stem. If you bear with me for 1 minute, and caller, if you're out there in the air, I encourage you to tune in. I encourage you to definitely call me up and give me a listen. Where my roots stem.
Medicine Man. Read by the author.
Hold on. Let me give you.
In God's attribute.
Okay. Having a little difficulty trying to find my music here. Because this system has changed a little bit. Have to get used to it. If you bear with me 1 minute here. Well, let me give you one of my other ones. Did you ever believe?
Did you ever believe? Arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Did you ever believe in things that you couldn't see? Or things you thought you could never be? Like a dreamer, that's what I've learned to be. Believing for things that I can't see.
We breathe. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yeah, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to. Before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Okay, I think I found that poem for you. This is Where My Roots Stem. I think you can enjoy this for 1 minute. Give me a second here. Here we go.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up, Mike.
Okay. Hold on for 1 minute. Just trying to get this system here going, and we'll be right back at you, and you'll be in the air in just a second, okay? Let's see. I think I'm going to play another one for you. The Mind, Meditate on the Word.
Meditate on the Word. Arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. While sitting here in the night, waiting for daylight, I stop and meditate on the words of the affirmations that I've heard. While reflecting back on the words, I can recall you are the head and not the tail. You are to succeed and not to fail. These are the promises that are needed, which are to be heeded while meditating on the word. So whenever I'm feeling low, I know just where to go. I go to the word for meditation without a doubt or hesitation. You see, when I meditate, I don't sleep. I dream in order to stay ahead of the games and scheme. I meditate on the word both day and night, for I know that it's not by might, but by his word, which has given me sight. While meditating on the word, I'll whisper words of power that will keep me focused every hour upon hour. I'll meditate on the word, for I know my way to success remains open and clear.
Thank you very much. And to your those listeners out there, you're in the air again. You've got Kira to read, and I thank you once again to my listening audience for joining me this evening. And I also encourage you to follow me on Cinch on my Facebook and Twitters. New program out there called Cinch. You can now hear me speaking right on the Twitters or Facebook. And you can follow me wherever I travel. And because we're just coming back, we wanted to do like a background refresher and overview of the last workshop, which was a Literacy Enriched Classroom. Now I'd like to bring you into the workshop where conversation leads. As a result of the workshop, participants will be able to explain how young children develop their oral and written language and skills of connections and how they support each other. I definitely want you to know that. And encouraging children to gain conversation skills during daily routine transitions and activities and experiences. Engage children in an equal partner in conversation. Children must learn that it's necessary to communicate and use their words at an early age. Encourage children to build a listening and speaking skill by using language for different purposes, i.e., such as asking questions, use your words, such as describing their feelings, use your words, such as telling a story. I wish that you could use your words. And also making requests. I'd like to have some water, please. Not hitting your neighbor because you want water. Use your words. Make it plain. Use your words. Get along with others. Please use your words. Get along with your peers. You can express yourself. Express yourself. It don't mind saying what you have to say when you want to express yourself. So this whole unit is going to be about expressing yourself, articulating, talking about what it is you want. The following key messages are conveyed through the workshop, the activities and participants. These are the things that I want you to be able to see in oral language, including the listening and speaking skills. Young children are learning to understand messages sent by others and express their own ideas. I don't like that message. I'll send one back. And the feelings and requests through sounds. Some of them do moans and groans. And I've even had children come in kindergarten and preschool who were still babbling. I said, oh, no, no. We're beyond that stage. We're not babbling. We're using our words. Facial expression. You have to go through all the emotions with them. This is sad. This is happy. And this is glad. And it's okay to have all those expressions because we are all of those things. Body movement is very important. Voice tone. Oh, don't use that tone with me. That's way too loud. You have to bring that tone down. You have to tell them about tone because you'll get those little bitty boys with the big voices that are talking so loud in there. Tell them, teach what to do. Tell them, teach what you want. Listen, that tone is not acceptable. I can accept your request, but the tone is not acceptable. So you have to talk about tone. Words have tone, and you can change the tone of your word. You can up the tone of your word, and the sentences have to be very sweet. We make our words sweet today, for tomorrow we have to live by them. Teachers and families support the development of listening and speaking skills by modeling. What do you mean, Mrs. Garth? Modeling? What do you mean, Ominka? Why do I have to model? Because You are the first hero of the child and the first modeler of the child, so the child must see you get up and do it and express how it should be done. How language is used and communication is done, and we talk with our hands, or we talk with our gestures and responding to talking with children and reading out loud, and we express ourselves when we're reading a story. We get all into it, and the child will get all into it too. Conversations are opportunities to share information and enjoy other people's company. If we want to be serenaded and enjoy other people's company, we must understand conversation. Children begin to learn about conversation in infancy. They start looking at you and wondering, what are you and Daddy talking about, when their families come over, and the caregivers, and how quiet the caregivers are and never says anything. And if you keep a child laid down and never say anything and don't respond to them, and the child doesn't become engaged, he will soon lose language. You have to keep him engaged. The child begins to learn about conversation at the infancy stage, and he responds at the infancy stage, even if he is gooing and cooing. He responds to sound and gestures. Play games with them. Peek-a-boo is a baby's favorite game. Singing songs. Sing a lullaby. Sing a lullaby song to that child. Rock-a-bye, baby, in a treetop. Don't forget about those songs. And through many interactions with adults, children gradually learn the society's acceptable practices. Then they learn how to act, how to behave. For conversations, partners such as talking and taking turns, the child learns that they can't both talk at the same time. They learn the conversation, one listens and the other one comprehends. And once they're done, they speak. Staying on the topic, not getting off topic, talking about something that doesn't even matter, that's not relevant. Respecting other people's ideas. Letting them know it's okay to have a difference of opinion. It's all right. And going on to allow that child to be very expressive. Teachers and families can help children become effective conversationalists. And conversation begins at home. You develop partnerships with your children. You talk to them like adults, not like idiots. You make sure that they can engage before they go to school by modeling conversation skills and making comments on asking questions and engaging themselves in conversation and telling them to participate in conversation. Children gradually gain the ability to use language as a tool for things and learning, and they tell stories, they play with others and solve problems, getting information, plans and predictions, imagination, making sense of the world. Does it make sense to me? If not, they won't participate. Teachers and families support children using the language to think by observing and responding to children's discoveries and accepting their ideas. They ask open-ended questions, expand their thinking and understanding, and doing read out aloud. Yes, don't tell the child to go over and read a book. Have them read out aloud. It's very important that they read out aloud. Now, let me tell you, there are lullaby songs that you should get in your area. A mother tells a bedtime story about a mother animal that sings a lullaby song. Tell Me a Story, Mommy is a great book. Angela Johnson, she can tell you that better than I can. At bedtime, my daughter retells a family story of her mother who told her a story and her children. And there's stories everywhere. Now, I'm going to tell you this, that it is time for us to go now. And I want you to know that I've enjoyed you so much. And next time we can get together and we can care to read. Have a great day.
I'm on my way.
On my way.
Yes, I'm on my way. I'd like to thank you for being with me this evening. You can join me next time for our next session. We'll be on tomorrow night at 5 o'clock here at the same time, and you can join us as we read. Thank you, listening audience, and do have a great evening. I'm on my way to Canaan land.
I'm on my way.
Have a pleasant evening. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow at 5 o'clock with Care to Read, and you now have your world back. I give you your world back. You're no longer in the air.